Hey everyone, it's Jasmine from Jasmine's Astrology, but you can call me Jay. And for today's episode, I'm going to chat about the astrology of June 11th until June 17th. But first things first, if you do enjoy these forecasts, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube or subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. It is super helpful and it is super free. And if you want to support my work further, you can always check out my website, jasminesastrology.com, for consultations and other astrology offerings. And for any and all of the transits that I talk about in this episode, you can always personalize them further by looking at the houses these transits are taking place in. And for more info on what the houses represent, you can grab your free copy of my house's PDF at the link in the show notes. So, second full week of June, this week feels very transitional in a way, like we are moving ahead in certain areas while taking maybe a step back or a pause in others. And I suppose that's not overly uncommon to feel like there are certain parts of life that are moving forward while others are in that more rest state. But it just feels like very different energy than those first 10 days of the month, which I think started off really bold and bright with like Venus moving into Leo and that full moon in Sagittarius. And in this second week, we have Mercury on the move, finally leaving Taurus behind after an extended stay in our fixed Earth sign. But before that, Pluto will head back into Capricorn, ending its first run through Aquarius, and it'll make a familiar trine aspect with Mercury while it's still in Taurus. And then once Mercury does move on to Gemini, the mental energy will be very buzzy. And by the end of the week, Saturn will begin its yearly retrograde cycle. It does feel a little like we're building towards the Gemini new moon, which will kick off next week's forecast. But for now, let's bring our attention to the beginning of this forecast, which is actually the busiest day of the week, June 11th. So at 5:35 a.m., Pluto retrograde will shift back into Capricorn. So Pluto's already been retrograde for a little while, moving through that, you know, 0 degree Aquarius mark, and now it's going to be back into 29 degrees Capricorn. So it's heading back. It's got some unfinished business. It gave us this little sneak peek at what its time in Aquarius might look like. And now it needs to wrap up all of those loose ends in Capricorn. And this is an ongoing process because Pluto will take one more trip back into Capricorn in 2024 before finally settling into Aquarius for good. So this is just part one kind of that process. And anyone with planets or points at 29, 28, or 27 degrees of Capricorn or any of the cardinal signs, so Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, this is going to be especially potent for you. And Pluto has been and will be a big part of your astrological story for the next little while as Pluto traverses those degrees between now and late 2024. Pluto in Aquarius might have been a bit of a relief for anyone with planets and points at those degrees, a bit of like space to catch the breath before going back in for more. But for all of us, this is part of what makes this week feel so transitional. And I should say that it will be especially potent for people with planets and points at those degrees. And so if you don't have anything going on there in your chart, you might not notice this shift. Sometimes the slower moving planets stationing retrograde or stationing direct don't really register for everyone. So not to worry if you don't necessarily notice this. But in case you do, this is, I think, part of what makes the week feel so transitional. It, to me, feels like kind of a weird space where Pluto has made us aware of what's coming. And, you know, we have that image in our minds now, but we also know what's been because we've been living it for, you know, 15 years. And there's something about that way of life, like the Pluto in Capricorn way of life, that we still need to mine something from. There is still something to be learned or uncovered. We still have some sort of unearthing to do before we can fully move on to what awaits us with Pluto in Aquarius. And I'm super curious to see what this looks like on a collective level. You know, I can't help but think about all of the different ways that AI has shown up in the news and in pop culture. And I wonder how much that shifts and changes when we bring the Earth energy of Capricorn back into the mix. But I suppose we will have to wait and see. On the same day at 6:15 a.m., Mercury, still in Taurus, will trine Pluto retrograde, now back in Capricorn, at 29 degrees. And this is the last time that Mercury will trine Pluto from Taurus to Capricorn. So we've had all these new interactions between Pluto in Aquarius and various other planets over the last few months. And now we arrive at a final iteration of something that we've already done plenty of times, which I think, you know, adds to that sort of transitionary feeling about this week. Now, Mercury trine Pluto can be about transformational conversations and interactions that completely shift our thinking. Or maybe it's a realization or an uncovering of some sort of hidden fact or piece of information that helps us to see something in a whole new light, which then transforms the way we think about something and our approach to it. And I really love the timing of this aspect because it does feel like with Pluto back in Capricorn, we're getting this chance to discover something really helpful or eye-opening that we might have been overlooking before because we'd spent so much time with Pluto in Capricorn. It's like when you're like trying to do a spreadsheet or something, or anytime you've spent a long time looking at one thing and you need those like fresh set of eyes on it, right? And so now that we've had that little break with Pluto in Aquarius, we are able to come back with those fresh eyes and either just see something more clearly or have the reinfusion of desire to actually dig deeper for what's needed. We're able to ask the right questions. We're picking up on information we might have let pass us by before. It feels like a chance to get that final piece of the puzzle that hopefully really brings everything into much greater focus. Maybe Mercury is helping to trigger the memory of like, this is what I still need to do with Pluto back in Capricorn. Here's the thread I can follow for the next few months. This is my unfinished business. And Pluto does tend to go deep and can make us kind of uncomfortable. So these revelations and discoveries could be related to themes of trust, intimacy, vulnerability, power dynamics, death and rebirth themes, and secrets that we've hidden away for one reason or another. The key with Pluto is to be super honest and transparent, even if just with yourself, because I think that's how we're able to dig deeper. You know, when we can be more open, be more vulnerable, be more honest, that's how we really get to the heart of the matter. And with this happening across Earth signs, I feel like it does really speak to examining or discovering or just putting the focus back on the material and physical realm of life. You know, our land and nature and the environment, our food and our bodies. There is also a very strategic edge to this aspect that will be great for planning and problem solving. And it'll be interesting to see how this aspect does play out because normally I might say that you'd feel this building a little bit beforehand and then sort of like subsiding afterwards. But it's an interesting series of events because Pluto has only just moved back into Capricorn before this aspect perfects. And then like 15 minutes after these two planets come together under this configuration, Mercury's gonna be moving on to Gemini. So it's always super interesting when we have two planets meeting up that are just freshly into a new sign or are just about to exit a sign because it doesn't really build up or sort of fade away in the same way that it would if like both planets were, you know, like at 15 degrees of their respective signs. So I wonder if this revelation might come quickly or it might be a thing of like, you know, we already did a lot of this work while Pluto is in Capricorn, but now we have to kind of just go back and almost claim it in a way. And if nothing else, June 11th might be a day when our minds are sort of between two worlds because, yeah, like 15 minutes after this aspect perfects, so at like 6:30 a.m. Eastern, Mercury will move into Gemini. And our minds are in a much different space here. We're moving from that fixed Earth of Taurus into the mutable air, and that is always a very significant shift. You think about going from like a rock in a garden to the butterfly flitting around everywhere all over the garden. And particularly for Mercury, because it moves from a place where it had the retrograde cycle to contend with, and now it's moving into one of the signs that it has rulership over. So this is a very technical upgrade for Mercury. So Mercury is at home in Gemini, which means great things for conversations and ideas and technology. All of the classic Mercury-ruled things will get a boost, they'll get an upgrade, as do the houses in your chart ruled by Mercury. So the topics that you would find in the Gemini and Virgo houses are also getting a little boost, getting a little upgrade. This is a very curious and inquisitive Mercury. You'll probably recognize some overlap with talk around Mercury in Gemini and Gemini season in general, both being a time of curiosity and connection and trying new things and having all of the conversations and wanting to socialize. And this time around for Mercury in Gemini, I wonder how much of that Pluto interaction will pave the way for this transit. Like, are we picking up on a piece of information at that last degree of Taurus that then sort of propels us during Mercury's stay in Gemini? Like, is that what we're going to be super curious about, a little obsessive over, looking for all of the information and input around? And this is a very, very brief transit, which is super fitting for this combo. By the 26th, Mercury will already be in Cancer. So we've got like 2 weeks of this like really clear, really mentally buzzy, stimulating energy. So fitting, like Mercury and Gemini, very fast, buzzy, and busy. And for some people, that can be, at least at times, a little overwhelming, right? Like there's all this new information flooding in, and we ourselves probably find ourselves craving new input, and it can all be a little bit overstimulating. For others, you know, this rush of possibilities is very exciting and it's stimulating in all of the right ways. But no matter what, like notebooks and voice notes are key tools for Mercury in Gemini. Getting all of the ideas out of the brain is one way to really manage all of that overwhelm. And it also keeps the mental space a bit freer for even more ideas to really flow through. It's a great time to listen to new podcasts, read a new book, have the conversations, upgrade your technology, exchange the ideas, take the class, and it's a much lighter mindset. It's hopefully very cheerful and playful, and we've only got 2 weeks of it, so take absolute advantage wherever possible. And then still on June 11th at 11:30 a.m., we will have Venus in Leo square Jupiter in Taurus at 5 degrees. This might be my favorite aspect of the week. I think there's a lot of exciting potential here. We have our two benefic planets, our two planets of support and encouragement and optimism and joy, and they're meeting under a square aspect, which is typically very tense and highlights points of friction between the areas of the chart involved. But when both benefics come together under that square configuration, there is a significant softening. The tension is now between two things that are both kind of amazing. An adjustment will still need to be made to move forward, but it is like choosing between two different types of cake or two options for a really fun afternoon activity. But what's more is that the effort and the energy that you do put into any kind of adjustment or negotiation that might need to happen is going to really pay off. Like the outcome will probably very much outweigh the input because of the two benefics being involved. And there is a nice bit of reception with Jupiter being in one of Venus's signs. So it feels like we're very supported in going big with something, like taking the risk, putting ourselves out there, not being afraid to take up our space that we deserve, right? Venus in Leo is being out there and being on the proverbial stage, you know, and especially when we're doing those things in service of something that is super meaningful to us, the reward will be well worth the risk. This is a very like go all out just this once type of energy where, yeah, there is a caution around overdoing something, you know, overindulging or having too much of a good thing. There is a strong desire to just go for it, have the experience regardless of what it might cost or what the consequences might be. The energy is a little over the top and affectionate and adventurous and generous. And that desire to splurge and go all out is from a very genuine place. Like it might be that we're just in a position to share generously from a place of abundance. You know, maybe we have a bunch of extra money that we've been saving and we just feel like, you know what, we just want to share it. Or we have all this extra food from the garden that we've been growing and we want to make a massive meal for our friends. And I say just go for it. I mean, like don't bankrupt yourself financially or energetically or spiritually or whatever, but I just feel like it's going to be obvious what we're meant to put this like grand gesture towards. And I think it's just going to feel really good. We are going to have two more squares between these planets in these signs happening in August and September, once when Venus is retrograde and once when Jupiter is retrograde. So we might be revisiting something from whatever arises around this aspect in the months to come. And we might be able to use those dates, that timing in terms of like, okay, this thing was set in motion in June, and then in August, we might revise this thing or see this outcome, and then same thing in September. But we'll talk more about those iterations when they arrive. Then we'll move ahead to June 15th at 12:05 p.m. Eastern. Mercury in Gemini will square Saturn in Pisces at 7 degrees, a much different iteration of the square aspect than with Jupiter and Venus. Here, the adjustments that we have to make aren't as easygoing, and the payoff might not feel as worth it. And that's got a lot to do with the fact that when Saturn is involved, it is very much an invitation to think about the long term, the sustainable, the ways that we can set ourselves up for the future. There's not a lot of room for instant gratification. And this might feel like, okay, so Mercury's newly into Gemini. We're having all of these new ideas and these new breakthroughs. And all of these new and fun ideas might find themselves at odds with the long-term plans that you've been putting into place in that Pisces house. We might be looking at, quick mental stimulation versus a more sustained emotional substance or something like that. So it's maybe not the best day for all the small talk and social busyness that Mercury in Gemini is so fond of. This is more of a day of like tough truths, stark realities, getting clarity, but probably not in a super uplifting way. Our mindset might be a little bit heavier. We might be feeling a pressure and a stress to like make the right choice, feeling a little bit of anxiety and overanalyzing or overthinking something. Saturn can just tend to bring a heaviness and a weightiness to things. And then, you know, mixing with Mercury, the planet of our mind and our communication, it brings that heavier mindset. This looks like having to make tough but necessary choices, ones that might take quite a bit of deliberation and more effort than usual, because they are going to have a long-term effect or consequence. So it's not a decision or a choice that you want to make lightly. It's not a time to be impulsive. It's a time to be realistic about what is and isn't possible. Like, what can we do? What can't we do? What are we available for? What aren't we available for? We only have so much time and energy in a given day. We cannot do all of the things. Mercury square Saturn looks like sequencing and prioritizing. For one thing to flourish, another thing must take a back seat, even if it's just for the day or the week. The adjustments that we're making when Mercury squares Saturn are ones that bring more clarity, more practicality, and more of a streamlined and organized nature so that we can create more stability and longevity. Then we'll move ahead to June 17th at 11:20 a.m. Mercury in Gemini will sextile Venus in Leo at 10 degrees. This is such a cute aspect. It is very playful and curious and fun. It is a little flirtatious and sweet and affectionate. It's super lighthearted, very easygoing. It is the perfect time to just let your stressors melt away and focus on the joy of being in the present moment, you know, not worrying about the past or the future. Whatever problems and issues we faced a few days ago when Mercury squared Saturn are hopefully fading away and feel much less pressing or consuming in this moment. So this is fire and air signs coming together. So it's very extroverted and expressive. It feels like being very good with words and performance and persuasion. It's a great day for creative writing or improv or some kind of performance. On paper, this screams like witty banter, the right words at the right time, like finessing the speech in a way, but not like a manipulative finessing, but it's just that there's a lightness and a pep to conversation and interactions. So it's a great aspect for catching up with friends and loved ones. It could be really great for a first date, getting together with a group of like-minded people and sharing ideas. There's a very lively energy to our conversations. There's a really nice flow of sweetness. So it's a great day to try to plan something with the people in your life that really light you up and really see you for who you are and love you for who you are and vice versa, obviously, right? And it's also a perfect aspect for making some kind of agreement. Like all parties involved in this agreement are highly likely to want the same things, to have the same ideals and goals in mind. And, you know, the energy is just very conducive for people coming together in harmony. Such a cute aspect. And then finally, also on June 17th at 1:30 p.m., Saturn will station retrograde in Pisces at 7 degrees. This is just the first of a few retrogrades Saturn will have in Pisces throughout its transit. So this is really just our first chance to reflect on what the story of Saturn in Pisces has been for us so far. This is our first chance to pause in that area of life and take a bit of stock as to all that's happened. You know, how is all the restructuring, the consolidating, and the simplifying that we've been doing, how is all of that going? Are we still moving in the direction that's going to have a long-term benefit? Are we still moving in alignment with the long-term goals we had? Or are those long-term goals that we did once have even still in alignment with who we are now? So it is this chance to reflect and make sure that what we're doing and how we're doing it in that Pisces area of life is still on track and still makes sense. Perhaps there are some aspects that need that second look or that need added attention before we can move forward with other plans and projects that we have in mind for that area of life. It's also a chance to reestablish certain boundaries, or it might be a chance to delay certain things when needed. Like maybe we need more time to figure something out and make sure that we're making informed and thoughtful choices. Saturn is very much about delays. And during a retrograde, we might be able to use that a little bit to our advantage, as in like delaying something, but for the benefit of making the better choice moving forward. Now, speaking of delays, Saturn retrograde can be a little frustrating because Saturn already moves quite slowly. And in a sign like Pisces, where it's, you know, this heavy, like I already talked about Saturn being very heavy and weighty, and then being like in a water sign, it's, you know, there's an added sense of moving with more weight. But I think it'll be helpful to remember that Saturn is never a planet about being in a rush. Saturn always wants us to make the choices and take the actions that have our future and our long-term success in mind. So taking a pause, taking a rest, taking a reflection can be really beneficial for all of that. And if you don't really feel this shift, it's no big deal. Similar to the Pluto retrograde, like we don't always feel these slower moving planets making these shifts. So it could just be that, you know, right now there are other more pressing things happening within your chart. So don't fret about that. But if you do have planets or points anywhere from 0 to 7 degrees of Pisces or the other mutable signs, so Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius, you will probably find that this particular retrograde, that this particular retrograde story is more potent for you. Okay, that's all I've got for this forecast. Definitely get in touch and let me know how that full moon in Sagittarius was for you, or maybe there was something else in those first 10 days of June that really stood out. I would love to hear about it. So make sure you drop a comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or I guess listening on YouTube since this is just audio, or send me a DM on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. And thank you all so much for listening. And until we meet again, I will catch you in the cosmos.